Okay, so I'm going to finish up this unit, and then the Bez Hashem tomorrow. I'll give you the sheets. I'll bring it to Besat Shabbat off. I emailed everybody to you sent everybody, okay, to next year, but I'll give you the hard copies. I'll bring it out. They're sitting on my desk. I just didn't get a chance to run them off yet. And I'll finish up finally soon with Pezayin. What I want to do today is finish up this unit with a lot of times on Wednesday we talk about some of the Parsha Vus. I'll end with something I think is very interesting, possibly connected to Parsha Vus, very much related to what we're discussing here. Just to finish, we're discussing the issue of Mamed. So the Torah, just very quickly, we got up to the Shulchan Aruch in 25, just to review quickly. Torah spoke about Cholov and Imtza Bekeva, so that's at Machlokas, right? When you have this congealed milk, we spoke about what the status of that is, whether it's that congealed milk that's inside. There's different ways you can make the cheese. You can mama the cheese inside the keva, or you can take this congealed milk from the keva and toss it into the other vat of milk that makes it into cheese and so on. So the Torah mentions that we had that machlokas, right? According to Rashi, everything's also because whatever's inside is considered chalav gomur completely. The Benatam had kind of a middle sheet. It depends whether it's the milk is still solid, the liquidy, or it's not. And then other Rishonim, the Rambam would seem to say it's completely mutter. That's how the Torah quotes chalav and nitzar kevod dasav alfas eno chalav mutter vashra basar afilu b'tzol shabo. Right? That's the Rambam and then the Rif. And then Rashi is at the other extreme, and the Tam is in the middle. So the Beis Yosef points out, though, a different problem. Beis Yosef, we saw in 23, and he concludes that even people like him, who pass like the Rif and the Rambam, says we shouldn't, if the Cholov was salted with the Keva, okay, or it sat in there for more than 24 hours, the Hainu, Meliach Kiroseach, and Kovach Kumavushal, right? So then, already we have to be Machner. Okay, then he says we have to be machmir. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch mentions. That's, we'll look at it again. It's up to 25, right? The here by us in Siman Pei Zayin Sif Yud. Cholav hanimtza bekeva lechatchila ein lanicho bekeva ad sheitztanan cholav besoch hakeva. Okay, but the evidence lachu shenloch liyikbeso. Oh, she'omar b'yomecha. That's the beginning. He's just pointing out that lechatchila person should be machmir. Not to use the keva while it's still, you know, while the cholov in the keva while it's still warm, okay. I mean, it's just after it was shechted and so on. But then b'diavad ein lachush shenimcha b'keva. So osha amar bo b'yom echad. I'm sorry. Abu b'diavad ein lachush shenimcha b'keva. So osha amar bo b'yomecha also lahamid bo. But he says if it was b'diavad ein lachush shenimcha b'keva. So osha amar bo b'yom echad. You have to put the period after b'diavad ein lachush, right? So he says, but if it was salted, milich koroseach, or it sat there kovach kumushal, then it's also to be mamid in that, okay? And that's what the mechaber says. So let's look first of all at the shach in Sivkot Nechovlo of 26. Shach says, "Tamvorsh shom shecholav akeva charv bechomot sarim amidim bo." Okay, he said lechatchila. You shouldn't even put it in for a short while it's still, you know, while it's, you wait till it completely cools off, okay? Because it's acidic, so kimivasho fast even less than 24 hours. Usually we say kovach kimivushal means 24 hours, right? Soaking for 24 hours, this can happen faster, okay? So that's the first thing Shach points out on that first part of the mechaber. You understand what I'm saying? But the mechaber is saying that first thing he says is cholav nishma kevah lachatchila ein lanich mekevah ad sheitztanan cholav zocha kevah. All right, so you got to wait till it cools off because it can theoretically cook and become like a kovach kumavushal in less than 24 hours. Okay, that's the opening point of the shach. Because of its sharpness or whatever else, it can be a problem in less than 24 hours, the chatrila, but you don't have to worry about it. But if you had shenimlach b'kevasa, which is regular melech haroseach, or shamud bo yom echad, say for 24 hours, regular kovach kumavushal, then also lahamid bo. Okay, then also lahamid bo says the shach and sivkot nechav tes in 26. Also lahamid bo mashma the ein chiluk bein karish l'tzolo, and the mechaber here does not distinguish between whether it's coagulated, congealed, or it's already or it's still liquidy. He doesn't make that chiluk over in the time. Okay, and he says v'hanal chatchila v'afagav the mutal v'ashal b'karish afil chatchila. But what do you mean? Okay, didn't we say according to the Rif and the Rambam, it's mutal of Ashra Karsh Vilchatchila? So what's the problem? Okay, what's the problem here? In other words, why the Shach is questioning? Again, this is in Sikkot Chavtas, the second part of 26. The Shach is questioning according to the Rif and the Rambam. So what's the problem? Right, they said you can cook it if it's Karish, you can even cook it. And yet here he said Osel Amro. It's almost like the Mechaber, in a certain sense, is contradicting himself. Because the Mechaber passes like the Rif and the Rambam, that once the milk is, that milk you can actually cook in it. So what's the issue here of being Mamid? So he says, the Shach says, Shani she'ein kan Israel mishum chalav, the came of the Karish Rabbi Kipirsha. What's the concern? We said you can use that congealed milk, okay, to cook, it becomes what we call pirsha. Remember, we define two different definitions. They said pirsha. Here it means, the assumption means perish, means waste. It's not milk, it's something else, whatever it is, some bodily byproduct, I don't know what you want to call it. Pirsha means manure, the waste, it's part of the waste. So that's understood. Okay, but over here, when you're using the when it's sitting in the Or HaKeva, so enachanami, it might not be milk anymore, but it absorbs flavor from the walls of the cave. It absorbs basar. That's the concern, and it may not be called milk anymore. Enachanami, goods, it's not milk, but it's basar possibly. In other words, the Shach is Michalik, and he says the reason why it's Osel Ahamid Bo, even though the milk itself, we said, is not, once it's congealed for sure, is not called milk anymore. So it's even Lechatchila. That was the Shach's Kash. Afrika, the Mutal of Ashur Makarja, Lechatchila. Okay, at least according to the Ram and the Rif. Okay, but that's not the same thing here. Okay, here, Ein Lahanicho Bekeva. Here it's what, leaving in the Keva. What's the problem? What's the problem with letting it develop in the cave? And the answer is because it'll absorb the flavor of meat. You follow? In other words, you can't be mamed in this. Why not? It's enachanami. It's not going to be called milk, but it absorbs the flavor of the meat. That's the issue. Kibla tamer or kibla achi asalachatila amid bogvinos. It's okay, but that's the lechatchila of the shulchan aruch. They're going to look back at 25. Cholov on him to a keva. Lechatchila ein lanich bekeva. Okay, to leave it to make cheese and so on because it'll absorb the flavor of the meat. Ein chanami, it's not called milk, right? You understand why it's not the same thing. That's what the Shach points out over there. And thirdly, the third Shach I want to look at here is the Simchat Lamed Aleph. Okay, v'imhaya keva krusha. Okay, I mean again the milk, if it's karish, so the Ramor writes, Ramor adds in the third line. Okay, then it's not going to be if the milk is already congealed. He says, Ramor says, Eino Aseres Klum. It's not going to answer at all. What about the concern of we mentioned before that it takes some of the flavor? So he has that it's one step removed. He says on the fourth line there, Lamed Aleph, the Hacha Shiny Dain Koch Betam Shekibul Parishemina Or Lachishchaber Hakam Chol Gomer Shmeren Nasas Agrina. It's not strong enough. He holds that it's not a strong enough tam. Okay, that's basically the idea. The tam that it absorbs from the wall, that's not enough to be isolated. That's according to the Ramah. Okay, the Ramah makes that chilek. The Ramah, the Mechaber doesn't. The Ramah says, "Why okay, but kusha ain't also klum? Why not?" So Shach explains because it doesn't have the koach to impact it. That's the Shach. Okay, now Pischei Tshuva also in Sivkot and Yud Ches. Says when it's krusha again on that Ramah 27. Perish hachelav shevakev for krusha eno seres the pirish ramu vein lomar or in lachshos to become mokav osu mishum tam boser. Same thing as the Shach. When he says yesh lomar the ain kach betam shekiv perish man oh it's chaber and really os nasas boser mechala. That's the Shach. Okay, so the first quotes the Shach, but then he adds v'ayin primigodim shekaz v'kol mokam im nivla chalav gomor bekarish. Okay, v'acharka lebos also dafka tam anivla nasa pirish abu be'en lo. Bishop of Pikpay is there. I'm not sure. Primogarbar is machmer when you have actual milk that is put with the congealed milk. Maybe there the tam is nivla. Okay, that's a possibility. Fine. All right, now there's an important shach in Sivkot and Chav Zayin. I skipped it before, I'm going back to it now. It's not only important for this day, but it's important in general. Because it says, the Shulchan Aruch said, the Mechaber says, Nimlach mekeva osu shalmud be'almechot osu hamidbo, right? If the keva was Nimlach together with, Nimlach, that's Melech Kiroseach and Kovash Kamavushal, right? Which we discussed already a few times. So the shach here, I don't exactly know why it's here, it could be elsewhere, but it's here, it's a Kotnik of Zion. He quotes a Beis Yosef, how Nimlach is Nimlach? I mean, how much salt are we talking about? Okay? How much salt are we talking about? And for how long? So it's an important shach. Again, it's not only relevant to here, it's relevant in general. Look what he says. He says, Zelosh, he says, Ashir, Shetzach, Shiyesh, Melicha, Shechoshev, Roseach. When do we say Melich Kiroseach? When do we say that's like hot? How much salt is it? Right? So he says, he quotes it from above. Something we'll talk about it more another time. Kabbalah Shukhlishan will go, Shir Melichaso Lishir Roseach. Meaning you leave it salt, okay, enough time that if it would be on the fire, it would get hot. And whatever it would take a fire to get this hot, how much time that'll be, that's how much salt. In other words, it's not for 2 seconds, it doesn't have to be for 10 hours. It just has to be for, that's what he says. Again, Shetzara, Sheyeshem, Lichosne, Sheyitno, Allah, or Biaskal, Arsiach. Okay, that's one thing. All right, so the salt has to, as it says the Shach, in order to employ the rule of Melech Kiroseach, it has to be that the salt is on this meat or the cable, whatever we're talking about, whatever we're talking about, Melech, whatever we want to apply Melech Kiroseach, it has to be that it's on long enough that it's be able to get hot. Okay, it'll be able to get hot if you put it on a fire for that amount of time. Okay, whatever it is for that particular dish, for that particular item. And the second thing he says is the amount of salt, how much salt you have to put on. Okay? And he says, V'tzorach she'nimlach kochach she'eno necho machmas molcho. Has to be enough salt that it's too salty for the average person to eat. That's how much salt. You put a little bit of salt on it, that many people put salt on food, but how much salt has to be put on in order to the dinner malich or seach? Enough salt that it's not edible for the average person. Okay? So those are two important principles that the Shach introduces to us over here in Sivkot and Chav Zayin. Number one, the time, okay, the quantity of time that salt has to be there long enough that if we're being cooked, we're cooked in this amount of time with a fire. And number two, it's salty enough that the average person wouldn't eat it because of the saltiness, okay? Yeah.
Is the requirement of being natural, not less molto, is that just to give us like a standard? Or is that because when something is boiling on the fire, it's in natural? Is that
I don't know. It's an interesting chakira. I think it's just simply defining what does melicha mean. Now, I want to stress for melicha, I think it's not the issue of not being able to eat. I don't think so. It's an interesting chakira, but it doesn't seem to be that way. Okay. That's what I said, important shach to be aware of. Okay. Moving along. The Pesach Tshuva adds, I don't want to call it a chumer exactly, but he points out that while we said Melich Kiroseach Kovash Kamavushal, okay, but the Pesach Tshuva in Sivkot and Tazayin quotes again the Prima Gadol, okay, that if you actually did cook it, then maybe we won't be Mekel, okay, then maybe we won't be Mekel. As we said in the Shulchan Aruch that even if it wasn't salted and so on. In Nimlach Melicha Muetes Velosha, right? There wasn't there. There's no Melicha Kiroseach, and also there was no Kavash Mavushal. You actually then cooked up the cheese afterwards. Maybe we wouldn't be back. That's already the Raisa. In other words, he's not sure either. But that's what the Pesach quotes here. Okay. In other words, if you cooked it, then it's a Chashash to Raisa. The Taz in Sivkot and Yud raises a very fascinating question. Again, look, you have to keep referring back to the Mechaber. I'm sorry, it's another page. The Ramor wrote, the second line of 25. Here again, Siman Pei Zayin Sifyut, Hagot. Bimhamid bo, imu atzolo oser kolagvinus ach. Well, I didn't read this before, so let's look at it now. The Ramor writes, imhamid bo, Imo atzol osar kol agvinos ad she shishim becholov shehemid neged hakeva asura. Yuhay shishim becholov akol mutar. Okay, if we're talking about tzolol, and again, this is Rabbeinu Tam, right, who makes the chilek between tzolol and karish. So the Rama accepts that. He says, if you were mamid, if we're talking about it's still milky, it's still liquidy, then oser kol agrinos, and it's going to asur the cheese unless there's shishim in the milk that you put in there against the keva. It has to be shishim. But if there is shishim, you know, in the milk, then everything's mutter. And then, of course, the Rambam goes on. Said v'lashitosi v'haya keva krusha, then ain't osar is klum. Afilu haya shishim keneged a keva. Even without shishim, it's good because again, that's like the Rambam that once it's karish, it's considered the perisha. Okay, but what he says is again, all right. And then at the end, he talks about what if it was clear that it coagulated later. Okay. But he says again for us, but if it was tzolol, then you need shishim. So the Taz in Sivkot and Yud asks, one second, what do you need shishim for? What do you need shishim for? Koshali, the Das Harosha, Koshali Daito, right? The min minum shishim will see a kan myril in the malicha. Here, it's not, we're talking about where it was salted together, right? It was malich kerosea. But one second, we paskin malicha kroseya. Look at the second line of 30. That Taz ain malicha seres yosem ekdei klipa ubebishul dafke binyan shishim. When do we require shishim? That's a din and bishul. Okay, when you cook, then we require shishim. But even though we say malicha kroseya, but it's not completely like bishul. It's only it only asus kdei klipa. Okay, ubebishul dafke binyan shishim. Why do we require shishim? Okay, so that's the kasha which the Taz is, and kind of leaves it at the end, you know, tzorach in rav liyashim is there. All right, he leaves it as a question. Okay, maliach is only asas kadei klipa. So even if the milk is liquidy, okay, and it was salted together with the keva and so on and so forth, only asas kadei klipa. So, you know, what all you need actually is shishim against not the whole keva, but against what? Against the inner, you know, the layer. What is the klipa? Klipa is like a klipa is like the outer or inner layer. Whatever you're looking at, here it's still an inner because it's the milk is sitting in this keva, right? So the klipa is the out the part that comes in contact with the milk. Okay, you don't have to measure against the entire keva. Okay, it doesn't measure against the entire keva. All right, so the mefakir about it is the tzorach even rav liyashiv is there. Well, the nekudas hakesef and that taz, I guess, gave it even rav. Okay, and he came up with an answer. Okay, the Nekudas HaKesef on this Taz. You understand? He's saying Taz's point. We have a rule by Malicha that it's only Asas Kadei Klipa, which is you don't need Shishin against the whole Keva. You only need against the part that's the outer, that layer. Again, the Klipa means literally a peel or a shell, just the outer part. In this case, the inner part, that's what's in contact with the milk. Right? Anyway, so the Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach writes, the Shach writes, Lo kashamidi, mekama, here's a few terutzim. Here's a few terutzim. He says, first of all, he has a rush from earlier, Kol dover shetzar klipa, velo shayach be klipa, kula aser. He has an answer that it could. How do you exactly measure kadei klipa over here altogether? Okay, because after all, milk is it's liquidy. What's the shell? What's the layer and so on? So it seems to me you can measure. You measure against the layer of the keva. But that's one answer that he gives. Okay, it's all shayach be klipa. Therefore, it's the whole thing is also. All right. A second possible answer is maybe here that since. You know, since shiny hocha keva shekonos besocha keva the nimloch besofo that you know domi lekavosh also kulo. Okay, here it's the way it's salted. It's not two things separate. It's like one unit, so to speak. The milk is inside the keva. So yeah, there's a few different terutzim why he thinks that the Taz is kasha is not kasha, and maybe he says maybe at the end he said maybe it did stay there all day. Or maybe because of its sharpness, it requires less time than that. So there's a few terutzim in why shishim would work. But that's the shach and the nekudas hakesef. In the shach, and that's in the regular shach, in Sukkot and Lamed, he asks almost the reverse question, okay, and a very important rule that we've had it before. Not why do you need shishim? Fakert. Why does shishim help? Why shouldn't it help? So Shachat Zikot Lamed introduces us, we discussed it already, something called Davar Hamamid. Davar Hamamid means when something is used, I guess the best English word, like as a catalyst. Okay, when something is used as a catalyst to affect the other food, then we have a rule that afilu be'elaflo vato. Did we discuss once Davar Hamamid? I think we mentioned, right? They're doing cheese making. We're talking about cheese, right? So Davar Hamamid is something you put in as to enhance or as a catalyst. That's the best English word I can think of. When you have so much of a catalyst, which is used to create something else, or to enhance, or to make something else into whatever making it. There's no bittul. There's no bittul. That's the rule of the Davar Hamamid. Okay, in other words, it's an ingredient that in effect forms the end result. Right? It's not stam an ingredient. Okay, we have lots of ingredients. You open up a can, you look on the package, there's 12 different ingredients. Here, this ingredient, it does more. It has more impact than just the being another ingredient. So that's possible. So here, him came, look on the third line of 32, Lahar Kasha, he says, came with the Khan, Udavar Mamad, I feel well, Elflo Bato. That's his Kasha. So why does Ramor say that if you're dealing with milk that's sold, so you need shishim? What's shishim? The shishim doesn't help. The or kava that's transmitting the basar flavor is going to be a davar hamamid. That you're making into cheese. That's an essential ingredient. It's a game changer. It's a forming ingredient. You understand the kasha? So that's what a davar hamamid is. Davar hamamid is not batal b'shishim. So first he gives the teretz. He says, not everyone agrees with that. Some say Davar Mamed on a certain sense can be bottle. He says, Tatur says Davar Mamed is also bottle. Okay, he quotes it. And a time it says like that. But then he says something else. More Lamedish answer. He says, the second part of Lamed, it's called Lamed Meshach. The Shach says that actually, okay, he says, when do we say Davar Mamed is not bottle? That's when the Davar Mamed is itself something which is usher. Okay, because what does Davar Hamamid in effect mean? Okay, what does Davar Hamamid mean in effect? Davar Hamamid means that the flavor, or the status of that Davar Hamamid is transferred to the Davar Namad, I guess, with the ground or Shahuamad, right? That which is impacted, the object. The subject and the object. Okay, so he says as follows. When we ate Shlomar, this is important, again, it's the soda stick in the sixth line of 32. Remember, we had Hamamid Ba'or Kavis Nevela. That's for sure, Osir. Okay, and there's no bitl there because there it's a Davar Hamamid. Kagon Nevela. Then we say Lobotu. Mashkin Hacha, She'ein Hamamid Osir Me'atzmo. It's an or kevas ksheira. There's nothing usher about that keva. There's nothing inherently usher about the keva. It's or kevas ksheira, right? By or kevas nevela. So the keva itself, which is mamid the milk for the purpose of the cheese making process, so that keva itself is usher. So that's a davar mamid. There we'll say a filo bela filo bato. But when we're talking in our case, we're talking about a case of mamid or kevas ksheira. So there's nothing wrong. The concern later is a tarovus of basar chalav. Some of the meat flavor. The meat flavor is not usser. It's meat is mutter, but it'll mix in with the milk. That's a problem. Then the regular rules of bittul apply. Yeah, that's a shach's teretz. In other words, and he says here it's a problem of tarovus basar chalav. Chal bittul shaper. Okay, so that's the teretz of the shach mentioned over here. Okay, davar hamamid ain't no bottle. That's only when the davar hamamid is itself, and this goes back to something we said. Okay, recall at the very beginning of the year. Remember, we had a discussion: is when we talk about bittul by basar v'chalav, is that really bittul? It's not really bittul. The concept of bittul doesn't really apply by basar v'chalav because bittul applies by what? Two items which are in conflict. One also, one mutter. So now it's one is overwhelms the other. Basar v'chalav, let's remember, the two ingredients are mutter. It's mutter versus, remember, we had the tosis in Nida with shatnez, you know, with wool and linen. The both things are inherently mutter. It's the result. So we said that bittul, in a certain sense, may be a borrowed term. Okay? So basar v'chalav, so then we said, though, that we discussed that according to many, basar v'chalav is a new entity. So then maybe it is machmas atzma. This shach's teretz would be questionable if you hold that basar v'chalav is a brand new entity of iser. So then it is, there is an iser machmas atzmo in this mix over here. However, if you recall, we said, but what about when it's only basar v'chalav drabbanon, which is the case over here? Okay, it's only drabbanon because it's meliach keroseach or kavash mavush. It's only drabbanon here. Okay, and would that, so Shach could be weighing in. Remember, we had an afkamina. Remember, we had a couple of afkaminas. We had an afkamina by Chaticha Nasas Nevela. Okay, would we say Chaticha Nasas Nevela was v'cholav? Is that a new entity? It was also Machmas Atzma, also Machmas Atarovis, right? That was one of our afkaminas. Another afkamina we had was by Chaticha Liskabe. Would we have those chumras? You know, is that only by Isser Machmas Atzma? Or is it Isser Machmas Atarovis? Same Machlokas. So this will be, I don't know if we mentioned it then, but this Shach will be a third afkamina. Okay, by Dover Amamid, okay, but when it's Kavish Mavushal or Malik Ruseach with only Drabbanon, would we say that it's Isser Machmas Atzmo? No, it's only Isser Machmas Harubas. But in any event, that's the different distinction. That's obviously the Shach weighs in on that side. Okay, the Shach weighs in on that side. Good? That's in Sif Cotton Lamed. It's got a lot of base. Shach meant something else. He says, why Mokav Hefsin, we can make it because only Isser Drabbanon fine. I want to move on. Everyone with me? I want to move on to finish up to Anav Gimel over here. A very interesting comment that Ramo makes to finish off Sif Yud. Take a look at 33. Very, very interesting. Shach says, Hago, the Ramo rather writes, or Hakeva, again, the skin of the stomach. Lifamim molchanoso, apparently the practice, sometimes they salt it, umiyabshinoso, they dry it out. They dry it out completely. And make it almost into some kind of a vessel. Venasa ke'etz. It becomes like wood. It's no longer meat. It's not food. It's not anything. It's not even pirsha. Right? It's now, you dry it out completely, so now it becomes, I don't know, like leather or something. Venasa ke'etz. Umimalim oso chalav. Now you want to put milk into that. Is that okay? Says Ramo, yes, it's mutter. Okay? Or shenis yabesh, if the skin is dried out, okay, the cable, which is dried out, and you put milk in it, it's yavish ke'etz, it's mutter. Says Ramo, why? The mich'achar, shenis yavish, havi ke'etz be'alma, ve'ein lo lachluchis bas, no more moisture, there's no more, it's not called meat anymore. I mean, again, it's like leather, you know, or some other animal skin byproduct here, you know, so that's not meat. Okay, you can have a, I don't know, leather canteen or whatever, put milk in it, I don't know. That's what Ramo is saying, right? You hear that? So that and it's that point when it's so dried out, it has no lachluchis, it has no moisture, it's not basar at all. It's completely dried out. Look at how completely dried out is dried out. I mean, you have, you know, what do they call beef jerky? Okay? Now, no one's going to say it's not meat.
Because well, there's actual, meaning there wasn't skin.
Right, that's true. It's actually the meat itself. That's true. Yeah, right. It's spiced up. Those like it, it's because it's spicy, I guess, you know. But it's meat. Yeah, you're right. That's actually good. Okay. But anyway, but you can do that with other parts and dry it out, make it into something you can put milk in it. That's mutter. So Paskin's the Ramon. The Shach in Sukkot and Lama Gimel says, and not only the skin of the keva, but huatin l'shar b'nei me'ayim. Kishim yabshas or adshia, other types of insides of the animal. I don't know what's done typically today, but apparently it was done then. Then he adds, however, Mikol Mokom Nira, the Lechatchila Ein Lasus Kain. He doesn't like it, Lechatchila. He didn't put milk in, he doesn't like it, Lechatchila. So the Primogodim on that, the Sitzei Das, the Kotman Mamad Yon Atshach, right? Of a Bosser, actually, here's your exact Chilik, but Primogodim. Of a Bosser Yovesh Kain, it's Osser. Okay? Is beef jerky that dry? It's pretty dry, right? It's pretty hard. It depends how it's cured. Huh?
I mean, I don't think we can talk about beef jerky at this point. Yeah. That's not how people eat.
Right, right. No, that's exactly what the... No, but that's what the Pringon is saying, I think. Busser Yovish Gates, even if it's meat that's actually totally dried out, okay? You know, I still think dried out is beyond beef jerky, but anyway, it's got to be, right? Yeah.
You wouldn't say Gates. No one eats beef jerky that's Gates.
That's Gates, right? It's not that hard, right? You can't. It tastes like bark. It's not like bark, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know, if you take a piece of eight and you spice it up, maybe, I don't know. All right, anyhow, so the main thing of the beef jerky is the spice, no? It's, but anyhow, all right, v'hu adin sharv, I'm sorry, so the rice, boso is case also. V'hu adin ora keva ubnei me'ayim bibishul yesh lesor, the misrachech. He says, even there, even ora keva or other types of innards, b'nei me'ayim, if you cook it up, it's a problem because then it softens it, right? And it's an osin tam. Okay, so that's the shah. What this leads us into is an interesting discussion, okay, and it's going to ultimately lead us to that. This is the whole gelatin question. The whole gelatin shiloh is really, and I printed it at the end of my cards. You saw some of the tshuvas. I'm not going to read now through the, you know, all of the tshuvas, but we'll see what the post will say. It's an issue. I mean, Eretz Yisrael, you can see Hashgachas. You know, la'ochlei gelatin. You know, some people do eat it, and even here it's a tumult. And, you know, so we'll talk about it. Okay, I remember at least when I was a kid, you know, you could never get kosher marshmallows except for Pesach. They were kosher Pesach marshmallows, and they find out that maybe they weren't really kosher Pesach. It was a question of hashgacha. You know, it's like not now. Now it's different. I'm just saying. When I was a kid, you know, you had these marshmallows, and they found out that the Rav Avachir, you know, I've been dead for 30 years, so it's like, you know, it's, whatever. I mean, those are the stories. I don't know what's true. I remember hearing that as a kid. Anyway, so the Pesach Tshuvas have caught in your tests. I didn't print it because I printed the Tshuvas. Quotes from Tshuvas of Akiva Eger, Madur Kama Simon Reish Zion, which I printed in the relevant parts in 36, and Chassam Sofer and Tshuva Chelek Yeredeh Simon Peyala. It's brought down, I mean, that's how I found them, through the Pesach Tshuva and Simkot in Chav Zion. So, I'm sorry, Simkot in your tests. So the... Rabbi Kivager is dealing with the following question. Okay, he's dealing with the question: the chumra of the shach. Right? What does the shach say at the end of Sukkot and Lamed Gimel? Nira l'dchatchila ein lasos kein. Even when it's dried out completely and you can put milk in there, he says l'dchatchila you shouldn't do it. Okay, so the he's talking about that, and the particular case that he's talking about miabshina or atchila at shiaseid lekis vasvachal klal. He says the chumrah of the shach, I don't print the whole tshuva, but he says the chumrah of the shach is if there's no shishim. If there's shishim in the dried out thing against whatever you're putting in, I'm sorry, in the milk rather, against this dried out container, so to speak, then is leka iser bas v'chalav kal. That's what Shekhi Eger says. Okay, then there's no bas v'chalav at all. All right? Now, why not? What does shishim have to do with it? Okay, because after all, he says, number one, he says, well, let's read the Kivager. He says, V'afta shach sham kosav, din lasos kain, haindu l'chatchila chayshin dilma lo nisyabesh l'gamri. That's only because they're afraid it wasn't dried out. But mashenekim nididan, d'ika shishim, v'leka iser rak midin ein mevatlin iser l'chatchila. Then he said, it's okay, especially if it's not as kavona to mevatl. Okay? So what's the shach getting at? He says l'chatchila by us. He said if there is shishim, so it's not a problem. But wait a minute. What about davar mab? What about all these things that the shach has a chumrah? I'll say it again. The shach has machmer not l'chatchila to use this dried out skin, but the kibbeger says that's only if there's no shishim. But if there is shishim, so then the only issue is ein vatli l'chatchila, and here is mekel. Okay. So let me understand the bottom. What background? What about what about the fact that it's Dabar HaMamid? So just to explain the lumdus behind it, doesn't punch it out, okay? At least I thought it was clear. But what he's saying is as follows, just the background, like I said before. What is the issue, what is the chumrah of Dabar HaMamid? Or what's the idea of a Dabar HaMamid? Dabar HaMamid transfers the status from that item, the Mamid, to the Dabar HaNe'emad, or Dabar Shehu Amad, whatever the correct grammar would be. I think both are right. Okay? In other words, so if the Dabar HaMamid is Nevela, like Orkeva's Nevela, so transfer that status to the milk that's in it. However, again, when it comes to Bas, like I said before, it's not Usser. Okay? It's not Usser. It's only a problem with Bas of a Cholov. Okay? But with Shishim, it doesn't become Basav Chalav. That's the background for Kveger's Lumbus. That's why he says the Shach is only concerned if there's no Shishim. If there's Shishim, so it never became Basav Chalav. It never became Basav Chalav, so therefore there's no problem with Dabar HaMamed. You follow again? Just go back to what I said before. It's a Dabar HaMamed, I fill the elephant bottle, but says the Kveger, but that again, that's Dafka, there's no Shishim. Okay? So to put in a kevus nevela, that's definitely usher because that's real nevela. But a kevus kshera, okay. But if there's shishim, then never became boss b'chalom. All right. What about ein v'al nisal chatchila? So here he's mekel because again, it's not really bitul. All right, it's not really bitul like we spoke about before. It's not really bitul. It's bishul, so to speak. There's ein kavana solavatel. Okay, his kavana is not to be mevatel. It's not a din of bitul. All right, so that's one thing. That's what Rebbe Eger mentions. That's in this Pisrei Tshuva. It's if caught in your test. I think especially it's not bus anymore. It's nothing. It's no issue. The Chassam Sofer, who's presented in greater detail in that Pisrei Tshuva, is in the Tshuva Chelek Yerdes and Pe'alav. Has a Shaila. Look at this. 37. Nafshu b'shelos odos ben Torah echad. Certain ben Torah. Some sofer calls him ben Torah. So I guess he must have been a good frum guy, right? The ben Torah echad. The dechika leishaita. He was having financial trouble. I guess he finished kolol. He had to make a living. So he had trouble earning a living. The ain parnasos akimas his gvina. So he went into the cheese making business. Guy became a cheese maker. All right, and he came up with a patent, I guess. Okay. He came up with some kind of a patent to make cheese. What he wanted to do was not just to dry out the or hakeva, it was going to dry out the or hakeva, which Ramah allows. Okay, that everybody's allowed, right? You can put the milk in there, all right? Laham tzila heta lahamid achalab or hakeva, which we said is okay, all right? But the problem is that takes a long time and so on and so forth. So what he wanted to do was afterwards somehow soak it, all right, and which will soften it up a little bit and draw out some of the flavor. In other words, it's dried out. This kevah was completely dry, all right. The kevah was completely dry, and he wants to put the milk in there, but then soak. I'm not clear after he put the milk in or while the milk was in there, maybe right before. Somehow soak a little bit to soften it up, and that brings out some of the flavor into the cheese, and that's exactly what he wants to do. All right, now, that's the question. The Shoel, as the Shiloh, wants to dry out the Ora Kevah and then soak it in water to get some juice or some liquid out of it, you know, like mitz basar, okay, and then put the milk in it because it's not completely dried out anymore. Is that allowed? Okay, so that's the question. I can't tell you. You hear the Shiloh. Okay. He says here it's a little hard to come up with a heter, okay, just for soaking it, because we said before that softens it, that defeats the whole purpose. And I guess what the Shoah was asking was, once it was lost its shame busser, okay, can I come back? Right, once it was dried out, we said it's not called bus anymore, okay, and it dried out, can it come back? You know, so he doesn't want to soften it completely, just a little bit to ooze out some of the flavors. So some sofer is, I don't see any heter, okay. He says, first of all, who knows how dried out is dried out? And he says, over there, we only are makel when it remains dried out. Mashkin or hachos shechozeres mizorcheches, either mashkin. Then dino kibos or mamish. And he says, is that partially this daiti? But he says something else. That's why I'm bringing this in here also. Okay. He brings up, there might be a heter to do this. Okay. First of all, if there's shishim, he mentioned, like we spoke about before. But furthermore, if you, he said, if you put something else in, okay, and it's not just the keva that's causing the cheese, but it's some other catalyst type of agent, you put that in, then he'll say that's what we call in halacha zevizeh gorim. Okay, zevizeh gorim, it means it's not the result of only one primary act, one primary ingredient. Okay, but actually there's something else here as well. Zev is a gorim. That's what he brings up, okay, which is a sugya in different places in Shas. When you have two different things, when you have a field, the Gemara has an avodah zara. When you have a field, you know, that's made from the fertilizer in the field, the zevel that comes from avodah zara. It's you know, something used for avodah zara, but also other zevel. So it's mutter that field, zev is a gorim. Okay, or if you have an animal which is fed. There's a Gemara, I should have printed it, but it's in Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Beis, if you want to look it up. Gemara has also an animal that was fed, you know, food that had been used for Avodah Zarah, but other food also, so Zev is a Gorim, right? So so therefore, that's what he says here, it's Mekel Zev is a Gorim. The only question is, what about Baal Nisr Chathchila? So he says, there's no any Baal Nisr Chathchila, again, because there's no doraisa, there's no bosser, it's trey darbonon, right? Because what's coming out? It's not actual meat, it's the yotzim in a bosser, okay? It's the yotzim in a bosser, right? It's this juice that's coming out. And that's, you know, not derech bishul, because no bishul is, so it's not darbonon, it's trey darbonon. And he mentions that taz. Remember we had that taz I showed to Simon Sadi. The taz is about trey darbonon, we can be makel. And even though we don't always pass like that taz, he says here it's enough. So that's the kula of the chsam sofer, okay? In a similar vein, I didn't print it, but the Bishchei Tshuva in the Oradeus and Pei Zayin here by us, in Sukkot and Chof, talks about toloim adumim, red worms, which they dried out and they put in liquid for the purpose of coloring. Red dye number two. Okay, whatever else people put in sometimes for coloring. You look at ingredients of a lot of different things. You'll have funny things that were added for color. Huh? Beetle juice, this kind of thing. Exactly. So the description is about beetles. Maybe it means beetles. I don't know. But some of these things are put in for coloring. So the question is, you know, but it's dried out of it. It's completely dried. It's not anymore the bug or the worm. So that's what the Pesach Tshuva says. It's the cotton chaf, okay, based on the same din. There's mutter. It's mutter. And it's the cotton chaf aleph. He basically discusses an interesting question. He quotes different people on different sides related to this whole thing. He says, when it's Yovish Ke'etz, okay, how far do we take it? That leads into the Jalak. How far do we take it? Do we say that Yovish Ke'etz, we said that takes away the Shame Bosser, right? Yovish Ke'etz, it's dried out, it takes away the Shame Bosser. Does also, can it also take away the Shame Isser? If I have, food that non-kosher, whatever, Mevela. And that's dried out. Does that also work? And once it's completely dried out, it takes away the shame basar. Can Yovish Kates take away the shame iser as well? That's not so posh. He quotes, that's people discuss it. Okay, so that's in that Pisrei Tshuva. And that is part of the question which related to the whole gelatin shaila. Okay, because gelatin, as you may know, okay, gelatin is made from the bones. I have here a description. Gelatin is a translucent, colorless, and flavorless solid substance derived from collagen obtained from various animal byproducts, namely the bones and skins of cows and or pigs or non-kosher animals. Okay, and that's the gelling agent that makes makes gummy bears gummy. Okay, and it makes the marshmallows marshmallow gooey, whatever. Okay. Basically, the collagen in the bones and skin is converted into something else. It's soaked in hydrochloric acid, okay? Then it's smoked in lime for about a month or so, and then it's washed in sulfuric acid. Shouldn't do this at home, okay? But anyway, that's the process. So that's in terms of gelatin. So what's the story? If you take bones, okay, from a non-kosher animal, or even from a kosher animal, which wasn't available, which wasn't shechted, okay, that's really the origin of the gelatin question. It relates back to this Ramah, who's it's dried out. Certainly, it sits in this, sits in lime and it's hydrochloric acid, completely dried out. It's nothing to do with the animal anymore, right? So that's a gelatin question. So the Nodav Yehuda has a tshuva which I printed here. I'm not going to read the tshuvas inside now, but the Nodav Yehuda in 39, it's tshuvas Nodav Yehuda Noador Kama Yoredei Simon Chav Vav. Okay, he talks about some kind of a fish that was dried out and so on. He basically says that He used the term paka isuro, right? The isur can go away, the Behuda says, once it's dried out, okay? It's not called meat anymore, okay? It's not royal achis al kelev, all right? But that's only true about in terms of that hakir that I just mentioned before, okay? He holds that it can take away the shame basar, but it doesn't take away the shame isur. And that's why he talks about this type of fish. He says, look at the last three lines. Vani Omer, well, that's printed over here. That's true again. The Huda writes, Ani Omer, Shafil with the Ebed, Eladamos Hisham, the Sham or Hakeva Heterhu. It's heter, so if it's dried out, so it takes away the shame basal, so now become. When is it going to become basal cholov? It's dried out already, so the shame basar is removed. Okay? We call them lo nishabotam lesser cholov. Below cholov, shame basal cholov. Avo shalchufis. That's this fish that he's talking about here. So dog tame, it's part of a dog tame. That's also in a Torah. So kvar chalav shem iser. Okay, the eno nifka b'menayadesh nisyabish. Okay, unless it's nisyabish beyond royal echelos hakelav, which wasn't the case. You hear the difference. It's this very chakira that the Pesach Yeshua talked about, right? And the Novi Huda wants they can take away the shame basar. Why? Because there was no iser ever in the mix here. It's not shame basar. Now it got mixed with milk, but it never became basar chalav because it wasn't basar. Okay, never. Well, no chalos or shame a basar chalav. When they have something that's also machmas atzmo that already had a shame iser chal on it, okay, like the case he's talking about. So then you can't just drying it out is not enough unless it's mamish lorachas kal. That's the Nod Behuda's point. Okay, now in the next source of primogodim, not here, but in Sim Kuv Gimel in the Tzilchus Haruvos, Sim Kuv Gimel Sim Katan Beis in the Sif Seidas. He has a different point. He said not that the issa disappeared, but once it's dried out, it can't give off any flavor. Okay, can't give off any flavor. Now, the nafkamina between the Prima God and the Behuda, okay, would be that according what if it softened up afterwards? Okay, what if you softened it? This case of like the Chassam Sofer's guy who wanted a sofer to soften it up. Okay. According to the Nod Behuda, there wouldn't be a problem because he has the expression paka isuro, nifka meno isuro. So once paka isuro, the isuro went bye bye. So that's it. You know, you can't bring it back. Okay, it's not osur. However, whatever comes out won't be osur anymore. According to Prima Godim, the whole issue of nisyabesh doesn't give a flavor. Okay, but if you soften enough and does give a flavor, then it gives a flavor. So that's a problem. All right, that's the Prima Godim. In terms of the gelatin, like I mentioned before, so Chaim Ozer was Mekel. That's the famous tshuva, which I printed the whole tshuva here. You don't need to see the whole thing, but we'll look a little part of it. This is in Chelek Gimel of Tshuvas Achiezer. Chaim Ozer Grudzinski was, of course, the Posek Ador in Europe in the 30s, and he died in 1941. So in Vilna, Chaim Ozer was a major posek in Europe. So his tshuva Achiezer, Chelek Gimel, Simon Lamed Gimel. Okay, he doesn't have the name, but he quotes this in Oz Hey. Bedvar Shelas Harizgono im beefshal ahakshir min avak chadash, asher motzao meatzomus yuveshus. Right, you make out of dried bones some sort of dust. It doesn't mean dust, but some sort of particles. Asher me'arvim oso beharbe minei michael. It's mixed in with all kinds of other stuff. And mamidim ayadom minim shonim, and you take these lokim at some stage we've shown also basid mimelach. That kind of a solution I said before. It's what do you call it? It's put in sulfuric hydrochloric acid first, okay, and then the sulfuric acid. That's what he's talking about. Mikomokum kishechozin obetav sharei nenim and isur torah isbe. I'm sorry, that was the I skipped. Acharkach soma atzomus b'mayim. Im chamar v'gam somehow Thomas phosphor. He tells the whole recipe over here. So the question is this mutter? So he said, whoever sent him the shaila, hello lahater. He said, based on our ramah, this ramah, but or keva, it says simen peizayin sif tes, but it means sif yud. Okay, the Chaim Ozer writes that whoever sent him this shaila, it doesn't mention the word gelatin. That's what he's talking about. Okay, the softening things that comes from bones. He quotes this Ramah. Or a cave, the phone, mocha, so me up, shas, a cave, so mala, so chol of mutter. The macha, shabbos, have a cave, spama, main mocha, is bosser. And the shach says, in many achronim, in fact, break and so on, they talk about the dam toloim, you know, the beetles or the worms that produces red color and so on. Anyway, so that's the, that was the shalot that he said. And look at the top of the next page. I'm just going to read the first paragraph. L'chora b'atzomis yivesh, ein shum chashash. Okay? Bones on our problem. We learned this already, right? Again, everything we learned relates to everything else. Remember that? We said if they're mutter bones, they can lay the bones of the Isser, I'm sorry, also can be mitzarif to the shishim against us or meat. So bones are not a problem. And he says even soft bones. Remember we had that chilik, that steerus, and maybe a different soft bones and hard bones. Anyway, he has that in the shachos machmer. And so anyway, he doesn't think it's a problem. So he landed that first paragraph. He says, "Imkain poshut that tzomushin shavu ein bohem chashash iser klal." That is the right to the end. He maskim and maskim that it's mutter. So Chaim Ozer held the gelatin made from the hard cow bones and so on is absolutely mutter. Okay. Despite that, however, despite Chaim Ozer's heter, when in the 1950s and 1960s, most American gedolim. You know, the American Gedolim at that time, Rabbi Silver, Aaron Cutler, Rabbi Henkin, okay, and as we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein also were not as convinced. They didn't allow it. And more recent post-Kim and Eretz also some didn't allow it, unless it's derived from an animal that was shechted properly. You took those bones, that's okay. But otherwise, the problem with Yotzim and Osir and so on. So that's how some hold. I printed in 42 the tshuvas from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Chelik Ardesim and Pei Gimel. Glida, Shema'arvin Bud gelatin. Okay, ice cream, marshmallow ice cream. Okay, where they put the gelatin and so on and so forth. And it's Chomer Zen Asame Ragle Chazirim. It's made from pig's feet or whatever, from pigs. Okay, or the skin. And it's cooked and strained and whatever else. It gives you some of the recipe also. And that's the question. Do we say that the hardening of it, is the same? At the end, he says, "Hamur mikol nashim avak mishavu nifsom mechilas adam uvad." It's a machlokas haposkin. The pasuk in this machlokas kavu quotes in the Bihuda and so on. Anyway, he leans to be the Frank does. He says he seems to be machmer, okay, and he brings a raya. And I didn't print that part of the tshuva, but he brings a raya that from the sap of a tree that's an orla tree that was. He said that remains also, even though it's Yovish Ka'etz. So anyway, he seems to be machmer about it. But he says, look at the very end, last line. Ein lahoris hetvet of zav, a lot says macha, b'dosh rabin kar hugel, to go out and scream at everybody else who others were listening. He says, not kedai.
Okay, it's possible that
if it lives on a chazakel, yeah.
He
says, yeah. It looks like that, yeah. Yes, I think so. Okay, and the other tshuva that we printed, that printed over here, Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva, is in Chelik Beis, in Chav Zayin, Bidvar Gelatin, Shanasim Oros Behemus Kseris, in Mutalochim and Cholov. Okay, this was written to Roman Albany. He says, again, he is Machmer. He says, first of all, look at the last paragraph for a second. Gelatin, Anasim Oros Behemus Tmeos, Unervelus, Utrevus, Yesh Lesser, the Sur Ika Boros, Vatomus Gedoma, Avsha Potter. Okay, even maybe it's a part of Yotzim and Osir and so on, but it's still Osir with the gelatin. No, he didn't like it. All right, he quotes some of our sources and the quotes on the Behuda. So Moshe Feinstein, I said before, was Machmer about it. Ravad Yosef is Mekel. Ravad Yosef, this is in the Chuvas Yabiyom Chelek Ches. Chelek Odeh Sim Yalaf, if you're interested in the subject at some length, take a look. He quotes everybody and so on. Kashrus HaGelatin Bahalocha. 44, Kashas Ajal and Balocha. He ne Yitzur Ajal and Oros and Matsomas Rakim, Shal Behemoth, the Velsa Trefas, some of his Trefas, Soramos of Melach, the Sid, again, tells you how it's soaked and so on and so forth. And he says that it should be based on this Ramah, and Simon Pezain, our Ramah, it should be Mutter. And at the end, he says that he thinks it is Mutter. He quotes the Chuvas Achiezer. He leans to be Makel, even comes from skins, not only bones. All right. Anyway, he's Mako, but again, and I think the Israeli chief rabbin to this day permits it, but I think they put on kosher loch lejelim. Okay, and others will not be allowed to allow it. So all that is based upon our Ramah here. So it's an interesting shaila for interest that I gave you the tshuvas and so on. So I just want to extend this to an interesting question, which is somewhat of a contemporary question, and it will be Yotze, our Parsha Shavua on Wednesday. Okay, I'm preparing a shiur for I give my shul now during the winter months when Shabbos is over early, so I give a shiur about an hour and a quarter after Shabbos on a topic that relates to Sedra, however tenuously. So we know that the beginning of the Sedra, that if you're interested in the Mamre comments, I'll want something. I'll remind me. I'll send them to you. Avraham Avinu fed Bosim Cholov to the Malachim, right? I mean, right? The Vayikachem of Cholov is a Bokar Shosam, right? Vayitenis to him, right? So Avraham Avinu gave Bosim Cholov to the Malachim. So everybody, on the assumption that Avraham Avinu is, the Mishnah says at the end of Kedushin, that Avraham Avinu is Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, even before it was given, right? That's a Mishnah in Kedushin, because it says in Parshas Toldos, Vayishmor Mishmartim, Yitzosayichu, Kosayim, Yitzoro, Soy, except they observed all the Torah before, and we assume Vayayayi, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as well. So you could argue, yeah, but who says the Bosim Cholov was cooked together? Remember, Derek Bishol is the Torah. So maybe Avraham Avinu only kept the derisus. So the derisus, no problem there. He just says, it's actually, I don't know, it says he served the milk first. You know, so he didn't necessarily serve it together. So it wasn't cooked together. Derek Bishol is the Torah. All right, but the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chavches, says that Avraham Avinu kept all the Drabonans also. Because the Gemara says he kept even Erev Tavshilin, which is the Drabonan. And in Chanano, there is a gear. So when it says Sorosai, it means even Divri Sofram. Our gear says Torshav Sav, Torshav Ha-Peh, which means the rights of it. All right, so Avraham kept all the abundance also. So how did he feed them Bas V'Cholam? Okay, so a lot of people deal with this. So the Malbin on this Pasuk here, take a look, the Malbin here in Chumash, he's Medayik, it says, Vezben Abakar Asher Osa. That's the Lashon, right? Vezben Abakar Asher Osa. So he says this wasn't a regular animal. It was rather that Avraham Avinu created this Ben HaBakar through the Sefer Yetzirah. Okay? And therefore it wasn't real basar. It didn't have the status of meat. And therefore it's mutter to feed it with milk. No problem, basar b'chol. The Malbim says it. The Darkei Tshuva here in Yerodea, and our Simon quotes this Malbim. The Cheshek Shlomo in the back of Yerodea quotes this Malbim. Okay? That it was created through the Sefer Yetzirah. Okay? And therefore it doesn't have a din of regular basar. There is such an example of something else in the Sefer Yetzirah also, that the Shalom is much earlier than the Malbim pointed out. You know, the beginning of Vayeshev, it says that Yosef, Vayove Yosef is Dibosom, royal Aviyem, right? Yosef ratted in his brothers to the father, and the Chazal tell him, what did he rat him about? So one of them was about that they ate Eiv Menachai. So the question is, Shalom asks, how did they eat Eiv Menachai? And if they didn't, what, Yosef was lying? I mean, what's going on? You know, so he said also that they created an animal with Sefer Yetzirah, the Shalom says, with Sefer Yetzirah, and therefore there's no problem. Rechai Yosef didn't know that, so that's why everyone's... Okay, anyway, so he had that man. Always says it's something also. Anyway, so be that as it may, alright, so what exactly is meant by the Sefer Yetzirah? Sefer Yetzirah is a work attributed to Avraham Avinu, actually. There are those who want to say the following on this basis. We're not doing much with the Sefer Yetzirah. But a couple of years ago, as you heard, I have a report over here. Somebody designed a hamburger, meat, made from, basically, it took the muscle. I'm not talking about the Impossible Burger. That's plant. I mean, that's not a shayla. Of course, that's not. That's maybe a Myers Ayan question. We hinted at the Impossible Burger that they sell today is plant derivative. Okay, that's not now what I'm talking about. Today, this was... in the university in the Netherlands, he created a hamburger by extracting a stem cell, okay, from a cow's muscle tissue, and then cultured it, multiplied it with nutrients and growth promoting chemicals, and created a hamburger. From now, at the time that this was 5 years ago or so, it cost about $325,000, which even for kosher meat prices is expensive for a hamburger. Okay, you know, because it took all. But, you know, as they'll perfect this, they'll probably figure out a way to do it much more cheaply and so on. So the question is, what is the status of this hamburger? And there's really two dinim. Number one, is it basar? Okay, I mean, no water. I mean, is it going to be basar? Okay, or would we say it's parv because it's not from, you know, it's not meat in the normal sense of meat. It was basically lab engineered, or they call it something clean meat. You know, I mean, it was completely not you know, engineered in the normal fashion. Or is it even kosher if it was taken from? It was taken from a what do you call it? It was taken from a non-kosher animal, or even a kosher animal that was just a biopsy. It was not taken after the animal was dead. So would it be a problem with kashrus? So this was asked a few years ago of a number of rabbanim. So I bring it up over here because again, based so someone that's the connection said someone bring based on the Malbim. This what is Sefer Yetzirah? As Rav Shechter said, that the Sefer Yetzirah doesn't mean hocus pocus. You know, you could say Sefer Yetzirah means, you know, with the name of Hashem. And, okay, but Rav Shechter wants to say Lav Dafka. Sefer Yetzirah means that it tells you how to do all these chemical things that you know, we can put together. You can create things, right? And I like to mention a side point. The Gemara has this. The Gemara has that. Remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rava Bara Gavra. Rava used the Sefer Yetzirah to create a human being. Who couldn't talk, but then you know, then he killed it, right? He killed it, he got rid of it. But Rav was able to create a prayer. And that same Gemara, I forgot who, Rav Moshe, somebody they would make on Friday, they would for Shabbos, they would create a kef, Igla Tilsa. You can look it up, Sanhedrin Samachai, okay? The Gemara, the Rav Bar Gavu, okay? And it said he sent this to Rav Zera as a complete side point. I always mention this on Purim. Says Rava created using the Sefer Yetzirah. Created, that's what Rashi says. Using the Sefer Yetzirah, he created this person. So why did he send it to Reb Zera? So the Margolis Hayam, Reuben Margolis, a big bucky. He was a librarian in Tel Aviv. Had access to tremendous assignment. He's a tremendous, tremendous bucky. He's lived in the early 1900s in Tel Aviv. Just one of these people knew everything about Pep, but had a number of sarm that are off the beaten path. It shows this tremendous bekiyas. But anyways, he has a sefer called Margolius Hayam, which is sort of a line by line almost commentary on the Sefer Sanhedrin. So he says, Rav Bar Gavra, why did he send it to Reb Zera? So he said, remember the story on Purim? Rav and Reb Zera had a Purim suit together, and one of them, they got drunk and he killed Reb Zera, right? Shakam Rav Shach Reb Zera. And then he brought him back to life. Remember that Gemara Megill Dav Zayin. So, and next year he invited him again, and Reb Zera said, you know, he'll pass this year. You know, you can't rely on the miracle happening every year, right? So Margolis, that's why Rava sent this golem, this Rava Bar Gavra, he sent to Dafka Reb Zera. Because what do you mean I can't do it? I can do what I want. Right? I can come back next quarter. It's okay. I can do this. All right. Anyway, just a side point. But be that as it may, so that's the question. This. You know, the Cheshire Shomai said, and the Dark Hachuvah, all quote this. So if it's true that it wouldn't be Basar B'Cholov, so that's what the Shechter thought, and I confirmed this with him yesterday, okay, that he thought that Basar B'Cholov means something that's created and processed and born in a normal fashion, and not through taking something out, making this coming out. He feels it wouldn't be meat. Okay, if it came, it would not be Basar. You can have a cheeseburger, in plain English. Okay, so this, again,
even if there was something from the animal used in the process.
Yeah, what? It definitely was. That's right. What's made.
Meaning the assumption is that, according to where Shepard's understanding the Sefer Yetzirah, that the Avraham used some part of an animal in the process, or a lot of
I don't know. The way he's understanding, maybe. Okay, but the point is that, but then I asked him, but would it have to come from a kosher animal? A kosher shechted animal.
Right.
So that, when I mentioned it first, he said, yeah, it'd have to be, because otherwise it's a yotzim and aser. Okay, you've taken this scrape of muscle tissue, whatever, from the animals, and it's yotzim and aser. But then I said to him, I said, I had to think about it, but since it's, because what we just discussed today, since it's mixed with all kinds of other stuff, so isn't it zagorim? It's this muscle tissue together with who knows what other things which are considered kosher ingredients, not from, you know, that the process and so on. So it'll be zevizagorim. Zevizagorim will take care of yotzer and osir, which would mean pot, perhaps even if it would come from a non-shechted animal, perhaps even a non-kosher animal, maybe zevizagorim would work. So he said he has to think about that. But the reason, but other posts can disagree. I saw online, you can get Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita's Rabbi Ganak from the OU, asked Rav Asher Weiss his opinion about it. He wrote something, he thinks it's for sure Basar has retreated his meat, and it doesn't see any, why not? Well, it's not the same. He holds Sefer Yetzirah is something, you know, magical, whatever, you know, then that's nothing to do. Here it's a meat for an animal, it's just produced in a different way. So he thought it is Basar. Others thought that it's maybe it's not possible, but it's what you call it. It's Joseph Hasser. Also, it's a Dabar Mamed, maybe, because this is what's making it. A lot of these things that we talked about came up. But just in terms of gelatin, perhaps you could suggest that it may go back to our, because basically this is like, in a way, this meat is like the gelatin. The gelatin was produced from the bones of the animals we just mentioned. Okay, and it underwent this change chemically. Okay, so according to those who are makel with gelatin that comes from a non-kosher source, because when we dried out, you could say the same thing over here, because it was basically created in the lab, or what they call a petri dish or whatever, in the lab. Okay, so they go the same thing. But those who hold, which is more mainstream opinion nowadays, then regarding gelatin that has to come from a shechted kosher animal, so the same thing perhaps should apply over here. Okay, unless you hold you know, again, we do have the concept that in halacha, derech achiloso, there is such a thing in halacha of things being normal. You know, that isurim, Nosim Gishtatner, I saw in the Tshuva, you know, quotes that something, maybe it would even be more machmer, or something you say for Yetzirah, to treat it like regular food, as opposed to which humans created it different ways. That wouldn't be subject perhaps to the Din of the Torah. So anyway, it's an interesting subject that may relate to this, and it rooted in that unusual Malbim, explaining the story with Avraham Avinu. Okay, let's not.